she had got the cancer.
You have made my life so wonderful. Take that with you too, okay?
I know that you love me.
Your mother can't be with you anymore.
I can't believe it. It's been a decade since you've been gone. Mama, I miss you. I miss sitting with you in the front yard, still figuring out how to keep living without you.
Welcome to Hello, My Mom is Dead. I'm your host, Molly McGlynn. Well, it's a big week for North American people with dead moms. It's Mother's Day week. It seems like everywhere you turn, there's a reminder to don't forget mom. And like, yes, bitch, we don't. That's why we're here. Or sometimes we do. And then we remember at the most random time, like when trying to clean lint out of the dryer, that once we had a mom and now we don't. And yet here we are just cleaning lint out of a dryer as if we weren't fundamentally altered. Is that just me? I don't know. Anybody? Anyway, the one thing I want to say this week to listeners is that it's okay if you want to cry every time you walk into a CVS and see the happy Mother's Day display when you're just trying to buy allergy pills, and it's okay if you feel absolutely nothing in particular about yet another holiday shoved down our throats thanks to capitalism. However you're feeling is totally normal. I'm thinking a lot about the ways in which I mother myself when I find myself fighting the harshest voice of self-criticism in my head, which is a lot. I think about what my mom would say to me. She'd likely say, "That sounds like a lot. Can I make you a cup of tea? And there's some leftover banana bread on the counter. Might be a little bit stale, but it's still good." I'm trying to listen to that voice more. Okay, listen to me. I'm your mom right now. You have been likely doing too much. Today, maybe you can just do a little bit less for everyone else and a little bit more for you. If it means watching Vanderpump Rules for 4 hours or finally organizing your Tupperware or washing your sheets and then eating Doritos in bed for dinner, do it. You deserve a goddamn break, okay? So listen to me. Today's episode is so, so special. I have 17-year-old Tina LaRosa. Tina is a singer-songwriter heavily influenced by classic rock legends like Fleetwood Mac, Billy Joel, Joni Mitchell, Kenny Loggins, James Taylor, and the Beatles. Modern influences include John Mayer, Ed Sheeran, Doty, and other singer-songwriters who embrace classic folk and meld it with modern pop. When Tina's mom unexpectedly died in 2019, she picked up a ukulele that her dad had bought her and started to write music to deal with her grief, writing her first songs at the age of 12. Throughout the pandemic, Tina continued to write music. She compiled her original set of songs into her first album she published at age 14 called Glass Half Full. Since then, she has added guitar to her repertoire. She released an EP in 2023 with 3 songs focused on grief and is donating all revenue to experience camps for grieving children. She released an album in 2024 compiling some songs written on both guitar and ukulele called Independent Artist. Her single, Fool, will be released in April. Tina has won multiple songwriting contests, including the grand prize for a jingle she wrote for My Muse Organic Drinks and second prize for a song she wrote for the Partnership for a Drug-Free New Jersey. Tina also writes songs for A Song for You, which is a nonprofit that writes songs for people in hospice. I was so graciously connected to Tina by the team at Experience Camps, who are a nonprofit who run grief camps for kids who have lost a parent, sibling, or primary caregiver. Currently, 1 in 5 children in the United States will experience the death of someone close to them before they turn 18. Experience camps can transform the trajectory of a grieving child's life, allowing them the tools to process their grief, find connection in each other, and rediscover their sense of hope and happiness. I loved my conversation with Tina, and I learned so much from her. We really connected over grief and creativity, and I was really moved by how she is using her incredible talents of songwriting, not only to express her creativity and channel her emotions, but to stay connected to her mom. The end of the episode features one of Tina's songs called Mom's Song. And warning, it absolutely emotionally destroyed me, but do listen. She is incredibly talented. I hope you support her work. She is definitely going places. I hope you enjoy this very special episode and good luck surviving Mother's Day. I'm here for you. Welcome to the latest episode of Hello, My Mom is Dead. I have the most special guest in the world today. I have Tina La Rosa. Tina is 17 and is an alum of Grief Experiences. Welcome to the podcast and thank you for doing this.
Of course. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So there's so many things I want to talk to you about. I should add also that Tina is an incredibly gifted songwriter and musician, and I listened to her music before recording this, and my fiance walked in and he's like, "Are you crying?" And then I was like, "Yes." So I fully was crying my eyes out. You are so truly gifted and talented, and I was just really impressed. So
thank you.
Thank you for sending your music. We'll talk about that more. And I will also link the song you wrote about your mom at the end of the episode. And in the show notes, I'm going to link your music on Spotify and everyone should check out Tina. I reached out to Grief Experience Camps about trying to talk to a former camper for the podcast. And I had learned about Grief Experiences through a friend of mine who had sent me a link, and I was like, this is amazing. It seems to be like camp for kids who have lost a parent, a sibling, primary caregiver. And I was just so impressed by this concept. And also their social media is incredible and just truly one of my favorite pages. It's so rare to have people talking honestly about grief. And I feel like kids are able to do so through their experience with this camp. So anyways, I had reached out to them about talking to a camper, and they were like, "We think we have the person for you, and that's Tina." And they just said how bright of a light you are and how talented you are. And they just thought we'd really hit it off. And also, I grew up in New Jersey. You're in New Jersey. So when did you go to camp?
So my first year was 2021. So that was like 2 years after my mom died. And it was kind of funny because that was the year that everyone said was weird because we were just coming back from COVID. So things weren't really running exactly the same. But even with that, I was like, oh my God, this place is awesome. So then like coming back the next year and experiencing it the way that it's like supposed to be, you know, everyone seeing everybody, just made it that much more incredible.
And where was the camp that you went to?
Pennsylvania. Pennex is what they call it.
Pennex?
Pennex, yeah. They have like abbreviations for all the camps.
I love it. Yeah, it's like insider camper lingo.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you and I were having like a little get to know you chat a week ago, I had asked you how you had found Grief Experiences Camp, and you said that your dad had found it in sort of a funny way. Can you share with us what that was?
So my dad was matched with a woman on Bumble.
And your parents were divorced, just to clarify for everybody.
Yes. And he saw that for her birthday, like on her profile, she was saying like, "Oh, instead of giving me a birthday present, donate to experience camps." So my dad was like, "Well, what's experience camps?" And like he looked at their website, he found a promo video, and I will never forget that he like ran into my room and he just showed me the video. He was like, "Look at this. This is awesome, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." I knew nothing at that point. It just looked like a fun like summer camp. I kind of knew less about the grief side. But he was like, I'm gonna sign you up for it. You might not get in, but like, you know, worst case, you really don't want to go, you don't have to go." So Yeah, then when it happened, I was like, oh, okay. Like, what am I in for? But luckily it was an awesome experience. So
what is the criteria for going? So you have to apply. I know that they, like, I went to a comedy show a month ago with a friend in LA, and it was a fundraiser. And I know that they do some like bursaries for campers who are unable to pay the full camp fees, I guess. But what is the application process?
I honestly wish I knew a little more, because my dad mostly did it for me. But I believe it's just, I think you submit an application through their website.
Okay.
It should be just linked, yeah, like experiencecamps.com, I think, something like that. But yeah, there's links. You just hit like apply to be a camper. I think pretty much you just say like your age, a little bit about your story, because, I mean, they obviously want to make sure that they have a priority to people who like really need it. I mean, not that like a loss of like a grandparent or something isn't a loss, but you know, it's like primarily like people lost parents and siblings.
Yeah. And I guess some people, like their grandparents would be their primary caregiver, but they're just making sure. I've sort of gone on a little tangent about the camps, but I'm going to just read your mom's obituary to start that we talked about just to get us started. And then I want to hear from you a little bit what your mom was like. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Teresa Ann Edone, Bergenfields, New Jersey, age 47, passed away July 18th, 2019. Born August 5th, 1971, to Edward and Ruth of Bergenfields, beloved mother of Aaron, James, Tina, sister of Patricia and Edward, beloved aunt of Caitlin, Lauren, Jacqueline, and Erica. Teresa attended St. John's Grammar School, Holy Angels Academy, and Felician College, a true and helpful friend to all. She will be dearly missed. Her favorite spot in the world was Long Beach Island. Services will be held at, and then we have the details. And then it says, in lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Rheumatoid Arthritis Foundation, arthritis.org. Okay, so like, as we know, these are just facts about a person. And like, sometimes it just really doesn't capture who someone is. But what did it feel like hearing that back?
To be honest, I had only ever looked at it like once before. I was rereading it before this. Just still be like, oh, I don't know, like what's on here, but yeah, it's kind of like doesn't say much, to be honest, you know. Which, I mean, I feel like there's only so much you can say to a person. Yeah, I think my mom was so much. I mean, it mentioned she was, you know, like a good friend and, you know, a mom, a sister, but. Yeah, I think she's so much more than that, you know, like as anyone is, she has so many little idiosyncrasies that, you know, you can't just write out in a little thing like that, you know?
Yeah. So you were 12 when she died.
Right.
That is such a tender, difficult age to lose your mom. You know, like you're going through puberty and like just trying to figure out who you are in the world, and to have this loss at that stage is just enormous. And I always say that I was grateful to have my mom until I was 21, but just in those transitional times of life, like I just graduated college, it felt like very destabilizing. But I mean, 12 is, I truly can't articulate it. What was that year like? Can you even remember it, or is it kind of blurry?
I remember it pretty vividly. Like, certain parts of it are blurry, but I mean, I feel like you can never forget how, like, when something massive like that just like shifts your whole world. Like, I truly believe it like altered my brain chemistry, because like I basically became like a whole different person after, like, after that. I mean, you know, when a kid experiences like adult feelings like that, just like, you know, suddenly too, that's bound to mature you and kind of force you to grow up. So I remember experiencing that and experienced a lot of anxiety for sure. I think the work that I've done to move past that, and especially with my anxiety, has definitely shaped me into the person I am, though.
Absolutely. And when people listen to your song at the end, which if it doesn't make people cry, I don't know what's wrong with them, but the lyrics are so beautiful. And one of them I wrote down, the song is about your mom, but you say, "I found your voice in mine. That's music to me." So it seems like music has been such an integral part to you expressing yourself, you coping with this loss. So when did music come into your life?
So it felt like a miracle, kind of, because it was just so like out of nowhere. So it kind of started back before my mom died. My sister wanted a ukulele for Christmas, so then we both got ukuleles. I didn't touch it, but she started learning, and then I was like, I got a little jealous. I'm like, oh yeah, I want to learn. So I remember there was like, I think I learned like one song, and it was like, "You Are My Sunshine." And I remember playing that for my mom. So now that's like a special song for me.
Oh, geez. I mean, that song on a ukulele would make me cry on a good day. So
I will always remember that. Because she got me like a little music box too, with like the "You Are My Sunshine" song right after. More importantly, after she died, I kind of just didn't know what to do with all these big feelings. So I was just looking for anything. So I, you know, in search of a distraction, I picked up the ukulele and I was like, okay. At first I was just goofing around, and then I was like, what if I wrote a song? So my very first song that I wrote was like a Christmas song or something. It's silly, but when I showed it to my dad, he was like, whoa. He was like, wait, you actually like have something here. You like keep writing. I was like, oh, okay. And then I started to kind of write more about my feelings, because I was going to therapy and you know, working through those things. So I was like, oh, I should, you know, write about all of this, you know, have somewhere to put it and have that outlet. And then I just fell in love with it. Because like it felt like that's how I could understand everything. Like, I imagine it's the same with you with like your work.
Yeah, and that's why I think I was so excited to talk to you, because different mediums, but both of us, I feel like, really express our experience through our work, and also it's become a mode of survival in a lot of ways.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. It's crazy. I don't know how it was for you, but I always feel like music was kind of something that like found me, which sounds kind of like woo.
Not at all. I believe in that fully.
It's so true. And at the perfect time too, because yeah, it's just was crazy, because I had like hardly touched an instrument my whole life, and suddenly it was just became this quick passion. This, you know, it became like my everything.
It feels like your mom had and has something to do with that. Do you think so?
I truly believe that. Like, I don't know how, I don't know why, but I don't know. That just feels like true to me.
Do you know like what music your mom listened to? Like,
oh, she loves like Van Morrison, like every Sunday.
My mom too. I grew up listening to a lot of Van Morrison.
The Brown Eyed Girl, that always makes me think of her.
Yeah.
She likes some like funk. She likes Stevie Wonder and good music.
Yeah, she obviously had good taste.
Definitely. I think more of my music taste comes from my dad, but I feel like when I listen to songs that my mom liked, it just hits different though.
Yeah. But do you ever have those moments where you're like in CVS or something and like a mom song comes on and you're just like, oh no. You're just like,
I remember it was like freshman year. I was in the car with one of my friends. It was like late at night. And I think it was Rosalinda's Eyes, Billy Joel, which she loved that song. And I just, I couldn't. I was like on the verge of tears, but I, you know, it was like awful moment. I feel like that happens a lot sometimes. Just grief hits at the most random times. And there's nothing wrong with it, but in my own head, I'm always like, no. terrible timing.
Yeah, not now.
No.
What were your friends like as a support system after your mom died? Because I know you have siblings, which is amazing. And I don't know what I would do without my sisters, but sometimes with siblings, like they're also trying to process it. So there's only so much support you can give each other. But what were your friends like?
My friends, well, that's kind of a whole different story. I wasn't in the most supportive friend group at the time. I actually had issues with like people making fun of the fact that my mom was dead. They'd use it as like a quick joke or a...
Okay, Tina, I am going to leap through the computer and ask for the names of these people. I am so sorry that those people treated you that way.
Me too. But listen, I don't know. I'd like to think that they've grown up a little bit. I don't know. I think I really don't know why people act that way sometimes, but I think it's definitely out of their own insecurity. And I mean, I'm lucky enough now to have super supportive friends. Like, I mean, talk about random moments. Literally last weekend, my friends and I just, we took a shore trip.
Okay, so yeah, the shore is just the Jersey Shore when you are in New Jersey, in the same way that like you say the city just refers to Manhattan. It's like the only city. It's the city.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize people don't call it that, but we were on the beach and we're like, oh, like let's go see the stars because there's like no light pollution there. It's crazy. So we were just laying on the beach, like seeing the stars, and the beach reminds me of my mom. It even said it in her obituary, like that was her favorite place. Like I always feel closer to her when I'm there. But for some reason, like in that moment, it just like hit me. Like there was nothing in particular I was thinking about, but I was just like, I miss her. And like we even like scattered her ashes on that beach on her first anniversary. So it's like, it makes sense. But I was just like, oh, so random. But the important thing was my friends, I didn't even say anything to them. Didn't explain it. I was sobbing. And they just hugged me so tight because they knew.
That is so beautiful because like you do just want a hug. Like there's no words that are going to make you feel better.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of support for some reason is always the best. It's just being there, even though like I know they don't get it. They can't. But they love me and, you know, they want to show that and be there for me. So
I am so glad that you now have kind, empathetic friends like that around you. It doesn't take away from the people who shall not be named because I will have a word with them. But I am so happy that those friends are in your life, which leads me to ask, what advice do you have for friends or family of someone who's young and lost their mom in terms of things that are helpful and things that aren't?
I think I remember like when my mom first died, the thing that was amazing about like, well, obviously it was awful right after, but it was amazing that everyone was just there, you know, like people would, some people don't prefer this, but I don't know. I liked, you know, people reaching out, you know, checking up, just being like, oh, like, how are you feeling? I think it's the little things like that really do more than you would think. But I feel like something I always think of is I feel like right after everyone's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, a couple months pass.
Yeah.
And that's the loneliest feeling time because you had so much support and then it's just like nothing.
That is such a great point. And I always say that to people who ask how they should support
someone whose mom just died and, you know, obviously show up immediately after. But I always say you got to show up months down the road, because what happens that year is you start to have the first holidays without them. You have your first birthday without them, their first birthday without them. And I feel like people who remember that and acknowledge those days means so much to me. It can just be as simple as, like, you know, the holidays I know are really tough. When your mom isn't here, I'm thinking of you. I'm here to listen. If you want to tell me about memories you had with her, you know, so friends or family who may be listening, show up on a random Tuesday afternoon, months down the road, and show up with a basket of cookies and just say thinking of you.
Exactly. That's all you need, you know?
Yeah. So in terms of your siblings, what is your relationship like now? And do you guys talk about your mom, or how does your mom play into your family dynamic now?
So it's a little complicated. I think it's definitely been very interesting for me to see how my siblings have grieved differently from me, especially they're a little bit older than me. My sister is 6 years older, my brother's 4 years older. So like growing up, they were always kind of closer, and I was like, you know, kind of the little kid. But I definitely think the loss like brought us together for sure, and now we're like closer than ever. But we definitely experienced the loss very differently, because like after my parents split, I still saw my mom, but my siblings didn't.
Okay.
So it was kind of a year before, you know, it became even more of a mess. But
yeah, I understand that too. And my parents were divorced when I was probably in third or fourth grade. And, you know, as I mentioned, she died later. But I know that divorce is also another loss in a family, and you have to grieve that as well. So it's like compound losses that happen.
Yeah. I think it was like less than a year in between that happened. So I was just like, the second I thought, I was like, okay, maybe I can adjust to this. Oops.
Yeah. Life has plans. Okay. So I started off asking you about your experience at camp, but can you talk about the types of people you met there, the friends you made, something you learned about grief there? I mean, take your pick. That's too many questions. Answer it however you want.
I think something about being there, just even in the moments we're not like talking about grief explicitly, it's just there's like an energy. I think definitely the people there are more empathetic or more mature, which is rare at our age. I mean, I think that's probably the hardest part about losing a parent so young, is kind of how I talked about, you're forced to grow up, you're forced to mature, but you're forced to keep, you know, you're still at the same point surrounded by people who haven't had that. You've got like pushed ahead, but you're stuck back.
Yeah, their emotional maturity is just not where yours is at. And I know for me, that can feel very lonely.
Definitely. I mean, I'm glad that they don't, you know, like, know what that's like. I feel like no kid should be forced to grow up like that. But at the same time, it's annoying. I'm like, I wish you could get it, you know, which is why camp is so special, because it's just everybody gets it. And I don't know. It's so supportive there. Everyone always is, you know, trying to lift everyone up. And that, I don't know, we need more of that.
Do you think you'd be the same person today if you didn't go to that camp?
No, I don't think so.
Wow.
I really don't, because I think I've known people who have experienced a loss too. And I even have my siblings, but even then it's different. But I think those are like my people. They've experienced grief, you know, more similarly to how I have than anywhere else. And I think that means a lot more than you would think.
Yeah, like the people that I feel comfortable with out of the gate are often people who have gone through loss, because I feel less of a pressure to perform for them. You know, like when people ask, oh, where does your mom live? And then you're like, oh, she died, but it's fine. And then you feel awkward and they feel awkward. And then you just get into like trying to make them feel better. And that's really tiring. But with people who get it, like some days you don't feel like talking about it, or some days you feel like laughing or being silly. And some days you need to cry.
Yeah, I think even some of the humor is just the best at camp, because it's always like, you know, you never know if you're supposed to make the dead mom joke around your friends, because sometimes it's funny, sometimes people get really awkward. At camp, everybody makes dead mom, like dead parent jokes or dead sibling jokes, or, but it's not like, I don't know, it's funny. It's just people like...
It's not the same as someone making a dead mom joke to you if they haven't experienced that and it had just happened to you. Like, that is unacceptable, in my opinion. I feel very strongly that that is hurtful and unkind. I hope it wasn't with malicious intent. It just sounds like very immature, but it feels like, to make the jokes, it's kind of best, in my opinion, if it's people who are all in the same club of, I lost my brother club, or my dad, or my mom. Like, that's an insider privilege.
Definitely. Yeah. There's certain conversations I've had at camp that I would never have with like my friends back home.
When I was listening to your song and bawling my eyes out, I said to Zach, I was like, I need to go to this camp. I was just so blown away with not only your creativity, the technicality of the song you made, but the emotional maturity and the lyrics is something that I don't think I had at 17. And if camp was a part of your journey to become as emotionally confident as you are, then everyone needs to donate to this camp. I'm going to link the donations page, but especially because they do bursaries for people who maybe aren't able to afford it at the time. And just seeing through you and through their social media, how this camp truly can alter the trajectory of a kid's life who's experienced grief. I mean, how you are given the space or not to process it, I feel like can profoundly alter someone's life.
Definitely. And I'm so grateful that I have and gotten to have a space like that. When, you know, during the week of camp and even outside, like I've been on the youth advisory board basically since I started going to the camp. And I've just met so many awesome people who are so incredibly like well spoken and emotionally intelligent. It's incredible.
There's this line that I've always really loved. I think it's from this Chilean poet called Pablo Neruda. I really hope I'm not misquoting it, but it's something to the effect of, the greater your capacity for sorrow, the greater your capacity for joy. And I feel that with people who have experienced a deep and close personal loss, that unless you really know true grief, you don't really feel the extent of true joy.
Wow. I've never heard that before, but I totally agree. I think one thing about me is people definitely make the assumption that I'm like just happy all of the time, because, you know, I mean, I am a pretty happy person. That's mostly what people see. But yeah, no, I think it definitely is only because I've gone through so much and I you know, done so much work on my mental health. You know, when something affects me poorly, I know what to do with it. You know, I know how to process it. Yeah, I definitely think I'm such a happy person too because of all that work I've done.
It can be tiring though when people are like, you're so strong, or, you know, people like you draw people who are like, want what you have, which is this wisdom and maturity, but it can be really tiring too. And sometimes you're like, excuse me, I'm just 17 and like figuring out my own life, so I can't help you. How do you like set boundaries and or take care of yourself when you're feeling just kind of like done?
I mean, I can't tell you how many days this school year so far I've just taken a mental health day. I wasn't even sick. I was just like, no, I just need sleep. I just need to process, especially it's junior year. So it's like,
yeah, you know what's going on. You can catch up.
Exactly. No, I usually like being with people kind of fuels me, but if I really am just out of it, I'm like, guys, sorry, I'm busy today. I don't know. For the most part, I don't even necessarily feel the need to explain the details to them, unless to my closest friend, if they're like, you okay? You seemed off lately. I kind of tell them like, yeah, it's just, you know, for example, let's say it's like, oh, Mother's Day is coming up. They're like, oh, okay. And that's all they really need to know. And they kind of like, you know, lay off a bit or whatever, you know.
I love that. I love that you're able to say that of just like, hey guys, I'm not feeling it. Not coming out tonight or whatever.
Yeah, I definitely think camp has helped me too with that. Just being more comfortable talking about my grief. I think, yeah, it's really helped me be okay with being vulnerable. Because, I mean, like at camp, we do a lot of talking about grief, of course, and with you, the advisory board. But it's one thing to talk about it with people that get it, but for some reason, because I know and I have, like, I've had certain conversations with people who get it and who could reassure, like, oh, yeah, I felt that too. It kind of makes me feel more comfortable to say something to someone who doesn't get it. And even if they have whatever, a bad response, I'm like, oh, okay, but I know this is valid, you know, because other people are feeling this too.
Right. And also, I think when you take space for yourself to recharge, that gives other people their permission to do so also. I feel like everyone just feels so much pressure all the time to be here, to be there, to be doing this, to be posting a video, to be doing a project. Like, it's just like, this is exhausting.
Yeah. And myself included, for sure. I have such a bad habit of not knowing how to rest.
Same.
Yeah, you too.
Like, I'll lie down for 15 minutes and I have that Insight Timer app. So I'll do like guided meditations are helpful. But my brain is just, it's just a gerbil on a wheel up there. But I'm working on it.
Me too. Yeah, are you into like meditation and stuff like that?
Yeah, I went to a silent retreat like over a month ago, and that really helped me work on my meditation practice. But as soon as I'm out of that environment, it becomes so difficult to do it every day consistently. But I also find even just an awareness of, for instance, like my breathing. Yesterday I was driving somewhere and I'm like, whoa, you're really breathing like up in your chest, you know? So, okay, take a deep breath, even if it's just very tiny ways of checking in with myself, taking a deep breath. I'm a really big fan of like walking meditations, which apparently I learned in my silent retreat that the Buddha was all for this. He's like, walking can be a meditation. And basically you walk around and you're like, I am walking, I am walking, I am walking. And I think that if you have a busy brain, it is maybe more helpful to go for a walk while doing it. And if your mind drifts, you just go back to, I am walking.
Yeah. I got super into stuff like that right after my mom died because it was basically COVID right after. She was 2019 and then the world shut down like the year later.
I hate this for you.
It really was a horrible like several years, but in some ways it worked out because I think having the world shut down kind of gave me time to be like, okay, let's figure what the heck is going on? Like, you know,
what a great way to reframe an enormous loss at an already very weird and scary time.
I think I was able to put so much focus into, you know, therapy and getting better and my music for sure. And yeah, and little things like that. Like I got super into yoga too and meditation. I basically like put my foot on the pedal. I'm like, I have to get better because I'm like, I can't live like this.
That's often the point that prompts a change. And I feel like I go through periods where that point will come to like just a crashing point for me. And it's like, oh, I have to readjust. I have to start taking care of myself again. And then I'm doing it. And then you can slip. But I think, you know, your life is going to be filled with periods where you kind of lose the plot a little bit and moments where you're like, you know what? It's time to cancel my plans and stare at the wall for an hour, whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I think right now it's been an interesting time period for me because I'm just like, I'm feeling the senioritis before I'm even a senior. I'm like ready to get out of high school and go, you know, to music school, hopefully, and just out of this high school bubble, this world I'm in. But it's also, I think there are parts of me where I'm like, oh, like thinking about growing up and without my mom, that's been kind of like something sitting in the back of my brain. I'm sure for you that was like a thing you said right when you graduated, right? College. So like entering the real world or entering any new stage of life, I think.
Yeah, for me, like whenever there's a success or even a failure, it's like those are the moments it gets triggered because even when really exciting things happen, like my movie coming out and I'm just like, I'm happy, but it's like, oh, she will never be able to see this. But I think that's why your song touched me so much because you are talking about like your mom is the music. Like you wouldn't have it without her. And like, I needed to hear that as an adult. And so thank you for that. So you are obviously incredibly talented. I'm so excited for the next stage of your life. I hate kind of asking people like, what do you see for yourself? Like, cause who knows, but what's like your wildest dream for yourself? What are you doing?
My biggest wildest dream is I really do just want to, you know, help people through my music as much as I can, you know? I mean, even like little things like that, you said that like my song touched you in a way like that. That means a lot to me. Like that is my goal. Like having a career in music and helping people with it. Like even now I'm actually a part of a songwriters collective called A Song For You. And so basically it's a team of songwriters. It was started and founded by Emily Kavanaugh. And she had this idea for songwriters to write for people and families in hospice.
Oh, geez, really? That's...
Yeah, so that's been really big for me because work like that is, you know, why I want to do what I want to do.
Oh, my God. That is so beautiful. I'm going to cry again. But I can see that in your work. And, you know, as I already said, it's already touched me and made me feel differently about my own grief at this period in my life. So thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, yeah, you know how like powerful art can be.
Unbelievably so. I mean, it can, I truly believe that it can really save your life, at least in the like emotional, spiritual sense. And for me, if you don't have an emotional or spiritual life, you're kind of just a zombie. Like you're just a meat sack walking around.
Yeah.
If you could list some of your favorite songs or movies that you kind of think get dead mom stuff right.
I actually did a review on, so Experience Camps, they have like a new website called like griefsucks.com.
That website is so good. Everyone go to griefsucks.com. Great content. And also it's a gorgeous website.
I agree. But yeah, on there, I did a grief review on, so it's a book and a movie. I'm like currently reading the book, but I was mostly talking about the movie. It's called The Sky is Everywhere. Have you seen it?
I haven't, but I'm going to.
So yeah, it's about this girl. It's not, okay, actually, it's not a dead mom movie, but she lost her sister. So it's a grief movie. And I think what I really liked about it is it really shows like the messiness of it. This girl winds up in like a love triangle with like the new boy in town and then like her sister's, like her late sister's boyfriend, which is super like...
Yeah, that's complicated, but it's real life.
Yeah. And you see her, she's like running through there's a scene where she's like running through the woods and she's just like crying. And I feel like those moments just like capture it. How it's just like, it feels like everything's like falling apart. It like goes to, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
I'm going to check that out. The Sky is Everywhere. Tina's grief movie recommendation. What is a song you'll put on that you'll immediately feel happy?
Oh, that's such a good question. I love classic rock and like folk rock. So maybe anything like Simon and Garfunkel.
You're just so cool.
Thank you. You too.
I would have been like, at your age, I'd be like, I'm a genie in a bottle, like Christina Aguilera.
Good song. But like, what if I had to pick one song? Oh, actually, I also really like Jack Johnson, Banana Pancakes. That you can't not smile.
No, it's like so calming, his music.
Right?
If you had to eat one thing every day, three meals a day until you graduated high school, what would it be?
Oh, I already know that answer. For some reason, I have an obsession, which is rice, chicken, beans. That's it. Just so good.
That is so healthy and balanced. Like I'm like tracking all my food right now as part of this nutrition program. And that's literally what I eat all the time. And that is your dream meal.
It's so good. I mean, okay, maybe a little bit more flavor in there. Like,
yeah, is there sauce or what's happening in there?
Yeah, maybe some like greens or like tomatoes.
Greens?
Or like spice, I don't know.
Okay, is there any sauce or is it just like dry rice, dry chicken, and beans?
No sauce. I don't know. I'm a little strange. I'm like no dressing on salad type gal. I don't know.
Okay, you're very healthy. What do you have any like junk food that you like?
Yeah. I mean, I love chocolate, 100%. No, I definitely like my mom, like her death definitely changed my relationship with food and like my lifestyle choices for sure, because she was not very healthy and did not like pay attention to how she ate. So I'm like make it a priority to be active and eat well. It's like super important to me.
That is so awesome. And I'm truly just, not that I ate poorly, but like really just thinking about food in a way that's like more balanced and sustainable. So you're ahead of the curve because you're eating a very well balanced meal. So very impressive.
Thank you.
To wrap it up, can you give yourself at 12, Tina, whose mom just died, what would Tina 17 say to her?
Wow. For some reason, the first thing that came to my mind was like the world's not ending, because it really felt like it at the time. And I think it only gets better from here is definitely what I would say too. Even though it's definitely not always easy. Like, of course, you know, no, growth is not linear.
Say it louder for the people in the back. Growth is not linear.
No, because I've had some really bad patches, don't get me wrong, but overall, the amount of growth I've had since then is incredible. Like, I can't believe I'm admitting that because my therapist tries to get me to say that all the time. But when I sit down and think about it, it's crazy. Like, I was convinced that everything would be like that forever. The fact that it isn't, and I'm at a pretty good place right now is crazy. And I never would have believed that at 12.
My heart feels so full hearing you say that. And we just met, obviously, recently, but I am so freaking proud of you. And you are someone that I look up to and I'm inspired by. So I'm so grateful that you spoke to me today. I think it's a really important, fresh perspective to talk to someone a little bit younger than the guests I've been talking to. And also a great opportunity to let people know about experience camps and to send it to people in their life who may need it, or donate if you can, because people like Tina have clearly benefited enormously, and that is so beautiful to watch. So thank you, Tina. We are going to wrap up this episode. I am going to play Mom's Song by Tina LaRosa for the out, and Tina's Spotify and her music will be linked in the show notes.
Thank you.
All right. Get your tissues, everybody.
In every flower's bloom, I sense your essence in each sky of blue, in all the memories that circle my room. I laugh, I smile, I cry to think of you, and even as the sky fades to I feel you here in every star, in every day. The day life lost you, stained in my mind, a trauma tangled in my chest, a puzzle to unwind, crashing in and out of raging tide, scared of the world around me, with no place to hide as the world kept spinning around. I couldn't feel the ground beneath my feet, but then I found your voice in mine. That's music to me. Of my life, I know one thing to be true. I simply wouldn't be all that I am if it weren't for you. But still, I feel your warmth in every flower's bloom. I sense your essence in each sky of blue, in all the memories that circle my room. I laugh, I smile, I cry to think of you. And as the world kept spinning around, I couldn't feel the ground beneath.
Just a reminder that if you like the podcast, or frankly, even if you hate it, please like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This helps boost ratings and make sure that people can come across the podcast who may need it. As always, I really appreciate all of your support and would love to hear from you and what you think. And I'm sorry you're here, but glad that you are. Thanks, friends. Love you.